following verse. And because we are reading the Word of God, I would encourage us as a congregation to read aloud and in unison as an expression of our faith in the Word of God. Let us begin. I'll start first. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "Lord, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." We give thanks for the word of God.
Parable that we read, but I do want to mention the other parable also. The author, Luke, St. Luke, was a doctor. He was very detailed. He wanted to tell others the good news of Jesus Christ. And he has given us these two parables. And I want us to understand these parables of Jesus are unique to Luke. They are not included in Matthew, Mark, and John. So Luke intentionally included these parables that the other gospel writers didn't include because he wanted to focus on something quite important. The title of my message today is What Kind of People Find the Road to Mercy? Mercy is a two-way street. We receive mercy and we give mercy. And we're going to see a little of that today as we look at the text. We need mercy today, definitely. We have so much terror going on and hatred and bitterness in politics and church in the media. It seems to be driving people crazy, doesn't it? They do terrible things. Facebook rants are off the charts. Twitter tweakouts tear the heart out. I like that term, Twitter tweakout. That was my invention. I'm on Facebook, and I am so careful about what I put on Facebook because I have friends on the left and the right, who let loose, and I cannot stand it. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to switch to Instagram and take pictures of food. I think that'll solve the problem. No mercy out there. But I want you to understand that Chinese Community Church is a merciful church. We are merciful in our community. Mercy is one of the themes that we should use to market, to brand our church, because we have so much mercy here. Last week, a woman attended the Chinese community church. I met her on the street, and she said, "Oh, that church, I didn't know they had a church. I went to the Chinatown Center, and they helped me get my citizenship." We do a lot that many of us are not aware of. We engage in mercy, the Chinatown Service Center. We engage in mercy in the park recently. We were out there with other people, and we were a presence as a Christian group in Washington, D.C., in the Chinatown area, offering people hope and help. Our ushers, how many of you are ushers? Raise your hand. Thank you, because you welcome people with joy and you welcome people with eagerness. You stand for our church in a Christian way with joyful expectation of sharing God's love to others. Even after church, we have a fellowship meal. Most churches in America don't have a fellowship meal, but it's an act of love and service and mercy to cook and to help downstairs. So all of us, who, and some of us more than others, by the way, who have helped make the food, thank you for being merciful. We're looking at Luke 18, 1 to 14, these two beautiful parables. The first one, the parable of the widow and the unjust judge, which we're going to read in a little bit. And the second one, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Now, I like Luke. Many people don't realize this. When I say, who is the most prolific theologian in the New Testament? They say, Paul. Actually, Luke wrote more material in the New Testament than Paul. And Luke's writing is not simply history. Luke is also a person interested in the teaching about God. So his material is extremely important. He wrote a fourth of the New Testament. The first point this morning, and I'm going to have three for you, is this. The road to mercy is through persistence. The first verse of chapter 18, the parable of the widow and the unjust judge, goes like this. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And then he goes on to tell this parable about this widow who encounters a judge who's a mean judge, doesn't care about people, doesn't care about God. And what does she do? She's persistent. Let's read. He said, in a certain town, this is Jesus saying this, was a judge who neither feared God, cared about what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, grant me justice against my adversaries. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. Oh, this is so relevant today, because we have people all over the place that are lost in bureaucratic struggles. They're trying to get something done and no one responds. No one helps them. The little person fighting an uncaring system or an uncaring bureaucrat. We hope for justice. Some of us get it, some of us don't. But this woman got it because she was persistent. How many of you have fought the system, I'm wondering? How many of you fought the system? There's a lot of people out there that do it. And I think we can identify with this woman. And then verse 7, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting it off? I tell you, he will see that you get justice and quickly. However, the Son of Man comes. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? That last statement needs to give us perspective. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? We may not have the justice we want immediately in life. But this text reminds us that the timeline is relative. One day, there will be justice when Jesus comes back. In this life, you may not have exactly what you want at this moment. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Is meant to encourage us to be persistent and to have faith to the very end. Her persistence won out. This is a beautiful story that mercy will come if we are persistent and that God will not ignore us. It may require our patience, but still God will come through. And then the second parable, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, Jesus spent much time engaging and teaching and modeling in prayer. He taught the disciples the Lord's Prayer. He went off the mountains and prayed. He prayed continually. Christians who spend no time or little time in prayer are either not Christians, or they are very shallow Christians or immature Christians. If you don't pray to God, how can you be a believer? Perhaps you're a cultural Christian, but you're not very spiritual. And I'll be honest with you, there are many Christians who don't pray. They might pray when they come to church, when they're forced to, but many Christians in the week never pray. Chinese Community Church, we are trying to focus more on prayer. We believe in prayer. We try to cultivate it. Our church regularly on Wednesdays has a time of prayer from 11:45 for about 20 or 30 minutes. Wednesday is the hour of prayer, or the half hour of prayer, for the Chinese church. And I encourage you not to come. If you're in the area and you want to come sometime, come, because you'll find 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people praying. Praying for the church. But I want you to put on your iPhones a little noise at 11:45. While you're eating your noodles, you can say a prayer for the Chinese church that God will bless us and help us to impact the community for God. Prayer. Sometimes we have prayer at the end of a sermon. I believe that every sermon should always have a response. It can be a quiet response or a visible response. So sometimes when I preach the gospel, I say, if someone feels touched by God, raise your hand. Stand up. Because I want to give an opportunity for us to respond to a message that challenges us to move forward with God. And that is a thing of prayer. Yesterday, the board downstairs. How many of you are on the board? Raise your hand. A few of us. Prayed. They're praying for the Chinese church. Prayer is important. The renewal of a church always is accompanied by prayer. And prayer is the way to grace, the way to mercy. Now, prayer is costly, I will have you know. A lot of people think prayer is just, it's just using a little time. How many of you are attorneys? Don't raise your hand. Attorneys, their hour is expensive. Their hour is valuable. So an attorney in America can make $5,000 in an hour. Most of them don't. But if you ask an attorney to pray for a half an hour, he's going to lose money. But prayer is important. So really, for people that their time is very valuable, prayer is a discipline that sets them aside. Are they serious about God, and will they pray in the day, or will they not? There's a financial disincentive for the wealthy. And I encourage you who are Christians here today, stand against the lure of the mammon and spend time in prayer every week for a time that is a definite, solid time. Who's Jesus talking to in this parable that we read? To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. Jesus is not talking to sinners. Jesus is talking to people that are confident of their righteousness. Kind of sounds like church people. Probably religious Jews. He's talking to them, and he has a wonderful parable for them. And this is what he says, and we've read it. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. How did the audience of religious people respond to this prayer? How do you think they responded? Because you clearly know what Jesus is talking about. They probably griped about the preacher confronting them, calling them out. We need to be called out sometimes. We need to be challenged sometimes to move closer to God. How dare he? How dare he, they said about Jesus, I'm sure. If you're a preacher and you are intimidated at calling out people for their sin, you better get another job, or you better say what they want to hear. Because to be the man or woman of God in your life, you have to be able to speak the truth in the right way. Secondly, the road to mercy is not self-righteousness. Self-righteousness is the attitude that allows you to look down on others who have a life that's different from you. The Pharisees were the guardians of the oral law. They were the separated ones. They weren't mostly priests. They were business people. They were leaders in the community, many of them. Maybe a few priests. But they were responsible for interpreting the scripture, maintaining the faith, more numerous and popular than other groups like the Sadducees. They believed in a resurrection. They often agreed with Jesus, except when Jesus embraced sinners. That's when they said, no, I don't want to have anything to do with sinners. The Pharisees, their prayer had four flaws that we see here. Comparing yourself with another, looking down at another person rather than looking up at God. Saying, I'm not as bad as this fellow. God doesn't care how you are in comparison to another person. God cares about you, where you are at, your relationship with me. You don't compare with another person. Well, you know, I give more than so-and-so. I can still say bad things about someone else or do bad things. I give a lot of money to the church. Let me tell you, there are people in life that on their deathbed give millions of dollars to the church. And they think that it's going to earn them something. It will earn them nothing. We need to walk with God continually, day by day. A Medal of Honor recipient. Yeah. A person of great honor in our culture can reject Jesus Christ. But a gay prostitute who repents and turns their life over to Jesus Christ can have life everlasting. That's the challenge of Christianity. That's the truth. And that's why Jesus, when he's talking to these people, he says, I'm talking to these religious people. He's not talking to any other people. Maybe a few disciples were there. Maybe. Maybe Luke heard. Who knows? Secondly, reliance on external image. Externals don't matter. Face. You're showing your face, and the inside, though, is corrupt. God knows. He sees through. Having a blinded view of yourself, thinking that you're better than someone else, distorts your ability to be introspective, to self-scrutinize. A rabbi, Simeon ben Jochai, said this one time. This was from the time of Jesus, so there was a rabbi. And this is how arrogant and how proud many of these people were. If there are only two righteous men in the world, I and my son, are these two. On Father's Day, that's pretty cool, isn't it? This is a Father's Day thing. If me and my son were the only two righteous. And then he says, if there's only one, I am he. That kind of pride is the wrong kind of pride. And also the lack of humility. There was no humility in the Pharisee. I've been in churches where people are divorced or something has happened and they're ostracized when they should be given mercy and love and embrace. People who've gotten in trouble often are marginalized. Someone in the church has a drunk driving problem or gets in trouble and they shun them. No. We are vessels of mercy. We are people of mercy. We embrace and we love. Josephine and I'm not going to give any names, but we've extended our home to a woman that went through a divorce, a terrible divorce some time ago, and she's working in D.C. now. She got a job. But she's been staying at our place, using our car, because we really care for her. She's a daughter of a missionary. Wonderful, smart, brilliant person. And we're trying to just love her. You'll never know who it is, so I'm not going to say anything else. But who are you loving? Who are you extending mercy to? Who do you need to extend mercy to? Maybe it's your father. Maybe it's your son. This week, be a vessel of mercy. Thirdly, the road to mercy is one of humility and repentance. There's a wrong way to God, and there's a right way. We saw the wrong way with the Pharisee. The right way is the tax collector. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Not only individuals do this, a church can do this. Chinese Community Church, Lord, forgive us. Help us to be a greater, a better light. Help us to be more merciful in our community. Now, some people will say, well, how come he said that? We're already good. No, that's exactly what the Pharisee would say. We need to embrace our call to, Lord, forgive us. Give us your mercy and help us to be able to give mercy to others. The tax collector's approach was this way. He had awareness of his sin. We have to have awareness of our sin. He believed that God would forgive. We have to believe that God will forgive us. And he had the courage to ask God. There are people that are so proud today that they will not even ask God for help. Now, on Father's Day, there's many fathers that never ask for directions when they're driving around. I know that. Any father, don't even raise your hand. We have to be willing to ask for help from God. Where do you fit in? Are you a Pharisee? Or are you a tax collector? Are you one who justifies yourself and can't see your sin? Who makes excuses why you cannot do what God calls you to do? Or are you someone that can call out to God? Mercy is throughout the Bible pervasive. In the Old Testament, it is the central theme in the Old Testament. But I will argue that the greatest expression, the greatest emblem of mercy, the greatest symbol of mercy is the cross. For Christians, the cross is the symbol of mercy. It's God's mercy because Jesus took the cross for us. Jesus gave his life for us. It is the great mercy of God that we see, an act of mercy. That's what the cross represents. Mercy is something that is durable and strong and firm. And when we engage it, we have it. It doesn't come and go. I don't want to be critical now. Please misunderstand me. How many of you have heard of random acts of kindness? That sounds pretty good, okay? I'll be honest with you. I like random acts of kindness. It's a good thing. The problem is, though, that when there's random acts in this life, my wife, Josephine, she always wins. If she goes to a raffle or a prize, I never get the prize. Life, sometimes people get all the random acts, all the random good things, and there are people that get nothing in life. Have you noticed that? So random acts of kindness is good for some of us, but some of us were left short. Let me assure you today that mercy is not random. Mercy is deliberate. God chose to come to us, and we need to choose to give mercy to others. There's no random act of mercy out there. It's a deliberate choice. Friends, this morning, I plead with you. Be like the tax collector. Call out to God for mercy. Don't trust in your status. You've been attending church or doing great works or giving money. But trust in Christ. Let your attitude be one of humility. And receive also the mercy that comes from Christ. Verse 14, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. I'm going to say a short prayer. I'd like you to just close your eyes, and I'm going to ask you to raise your hand and put it down. But this morning, as we've looked at mercy, and we've seen this picture of the Pharisee and the tax collector, if there is anyone here today that needs mercy from God, I'd like you to slip your hand up and put it down.